now, broadcasting on Star Worldwide Networks. It's Healthy Senior Living with Smiles by Delivery. Healthy Senior Living explores all aspects of creating a happy and healthy senior lifestyle. As the premier mobile dental practice in Arizona, we have mastered the art of delivering the highest quality dental services in our patients' homes. This show will bring you an engaging and ongoing discussion with the leading voices in the field about the best options and strategies available to help seniors live healthy and comfortable lives. And now it's time for Healthy Senior Living with Smiles by Delivery.
Welcome to another episode of Healthy Senior Living, brought to you by Smiles by Delivery. And here we are again. Roger, can you believe it?
I know. First of all, I'm amazed that we're almost through the month of February.
I know. I know.
So that's one thing. And it's always nice to be vertical, as I say. But anyhow.
Words to live by. I do want to just acknowledge, since we're after Valentine's Day,
all right.
I want to acknowledge Smiles by Delivery, who are, they sponsor the show. And Smiles by Delivery is mobile healthcare dentistry. And why I think that goes along with Valentine's Day is because I personally consumed a lot of chocolate, one of my favorite holidays. And it's important to brush your teeth. You see how I'm working on that? And I'm tying it all in.
Right.
Brushing your teeth, oral health care, Smiles by Delivery.
Sure.
They come to you.
Yeah. And, I'm one of those unique individuals.
Oh, yes, you are, Roger.
Who doesn't like chocolate.
What?
Nope. I do not like chocolate. I've made it through life without much chocolate. Let's put it that way.
I don't even know what to say at this point.
I know.
A man who doesn't like chocolate.
What can I say? There's nothing I can add to that.
There isn't. I'll try to get over that. I still like you as a co-host,
I think.
For the most part. And I guess what I know is that if anyone brings us in chocolate as a gift for being the host,
I will give it to somebody else.
I will have it all. Actually, this is working out really well for me, so I'm glad we did have this discussion.
Okay.
I don't think I actually introduced myself, but I'm Michelle Trent, and this is my co-host, Roger Downey, the non-chocolate lover.
That's right.
In the studio. But we're joined by a couple of other folks today. And one of them is a voice that you will be familiar with if you've been a regular listener of Healthy Senior Living. His name is Coy Vernon. And Coy has been on here before, and we are very interested in what he has to say. And the topic is quite rich, and so it just takes a bit to sort of explain what it is, and that's why we were excited to have him back. But Coy is a licensed fiduciary, principal, and director at Childers and Coventry LLC. So he's going to talk to us about, you know, what that means again, being a fiduciary, and also he has a specific guest with him today, and they're going to talk about just one of the, again, the vast areas that are covered under his responsibility. So Coy, welcome back to the show.
Yes.
Yeah, thanks for having me. I'm really excited to bring Deborah Bailey in. She's an estate administrator at our firm. I always say if you're successful at anything or your company's successful at anything, you should probably look to your left and your right and see who's got your back and who you're shoulder to shoulder with. And Deborah's been with the firm for about 11 years. So Deborah has a wealth of knowledge. She's administered some very difficult cases. I go to her when I need help. And she's just an all-around good person. I think she's one of the few people who's put me through an unintentional selection course. I went mountain biking with her one time. It's supposed to be like a 30, 40-minute drive. 2 hours later, we're still in the baking sun, and Deborah's just trucking along. And I'm, several yards behind her, and my butt was sore for several weeks. So not only is she a great fiduciary, she's a very tough person. So one of the reasons I brought Deborah in is so she can explain from an administrative perspective her role in several cases, depending on how much time we have. So I'm going to turn that over, and we want to talk about a guardian and conservatorship case where we were able to come in and turn the situation around and, I think, add quality and years on to our ward's life. So I'm going to turn it over to Deborah at this point.
Before you do that, and maybe Deborah, you'll want to start with this, is just to ground our audience again in what a fiduciary is, what the role of a fiduciary is.
Well, I think basically you're considered as having a higher level of duty to an individual, to a case, and all the related tasks that are involved with that. We generally are court-appointed, but we can also be nominated or appointed in the document itself like a trust. So, but basically, we handle matters of financial or just of the person, and we do that to a higher level of standards.
Okay, so when you say case, I think of attorneys and lawyers. You're not an attorney yourself, is that true?
No, I'm licensed as a fiduciary in Arizona, but yes, we have legal representation generally in a matter.
A lot of people are just learning about fiduciaries, listening to this program. What makes a good fiduciary or administrator?
Well, I like to say someone with some life experience, someone probably a little older, although I think Coy would disagree with that. But I think you have to have a perspective on a variety of things, financial, health care, and that all comes about pretty much having lived a number of years. So it from that perspective, I think it helps. I think as well, having some experience in the legal field, that really does contribute an understanding of the process and kind of basic rights that go along with like a conservatorship or a guardianship appointment.
And now, Deborah was a paralegal at one point, right?
I was, yes.
She was.
Yeah, for a number of years. I did not do probate work. I did, or family law. I did transactional work, but the transition has been, I can't say that there has been one day where I've really been bored at work. Every case is completely different. You're stepping into completely different lives and trying to help and manage.
So, is it, as far as just kind of summing this up, is it fair to say that the court and the lawyers have sort of arrived at here's what needs to be done, and then they would and hand this over to a fiduciary, and then your responsibility is making sure that that is executed in the terms that have been determined?
Exactly. I think that's one way that the appointment could come about. Another way is we get referrals. People like to do estate planning in advance, and sometimes there are clues that attorneys pick up on. Sometimes there are people who just generally know that they're in decline and they have no family, so they need to have help. So we're in place to provide that. Other ways that we do get cases are from Adult Protective Services when there might be some notion of exploitation.
Got it.
So very vulnerable people need assistance in that manner.
So give us that example, then, of how you come in and the help that you provide.
So we'll talk about our Jane Doe in this case. She was found wandering around, and at that point, someone petitioned us for us to be involved. Now, Deborah, can you elaborate on this?
Yeah.
How were we brought into this case?
Well, if my memory serves me, this was a number of years ago. This was an elderly, maybe late 80s woman, living spinster with her spinster sister in their family home. Central Phoenix, knew the area very well, grew up there, but was found just wandering and couldn't find her way back home. So I'm not really sure. Maybe it was law enforcement got involved, and then we eventually were asked to represent her. There was a court appointment. It was found that she really was in, pretty severe mental decline. Her home was clearly evidence, of that. Not much food. She did not drive any longer. And that's why walking, she was just found wandering. So we stepped in, no family whatsoever. Her sister had recently passed away. And through evaluation, both healthcare and mental, we got a conservatorship appointment and a guardianship appointment. She was placed appropriately with a home that provided proper nutrition and 24/7 care. And on my side, I do more of the financial. We were able to marshal what's called secure all of her assets and make sure that her bills were paid. Respecting her estate plan, she did have a will, and she had left a lot of her funds to charities. So we were able to follow up on and respect and maintain that estate plan while taking advantage of a long-term care plan that she had available. You know, getting her, I think, back into a more quality mode of life. She obviously couldn't address her bills any longer, got behind on a few utility payments, and so, yeah. It was a very good thing. I think we prolonged her life greatly. I remember I would be able to visit occasionally. We try to be as cost-effective as possible, but we would always be involved in bingo. And they cheat. And you have to, like, you have to really laugh at it. It's very, very cute. Mm. But I think she was very appropriately placed and very happy. So,
in situations like that, and again, probably, you know, each thing is always going to be different, but let's say person without any family to fall back on and be, you know, cared for, and being elderly and having problems with dementia, do you follow that case all the way to the end when that person dies? Is that how you're?
Yes. Yep. We are committed all the way to the end. Unfortunately, in her case, she passed, and we were able to administer her estate afterward. In other cases, depending on finances, we are committed. We stay with the case until the end. And even if we need to apply for public benefits, we're involved, and we stay in and administer to, you know, the final outcome.
And I'm going to chime in on the importance of this, because this has become a bit of my pet peeve, because I think people don't really recognize the importance of the stability and continuance of care and getting to know the person. And those people that are taking care of you need to have, they need to have a relationship with you and understanding of who you are. Because you can't just go from provider to provider or fiduciary to fiduciary, or if a family member or a friend just wants to randomly step in, and then it'll totally shake up their world, because it'll change the dynamic of the care and the stability of the situation, and that's not fair to the ward. But I, you know, that's my pet peeve, and I wanted to chime in on that. So when we make that commitment and we get a permanent appointment, we're in.
And I'd like you to share maybe another example when we come back from the break. But before we go to the break, Clay, maybe you can help, again, listeners understand when they should bring in a fiduciary, when they should make a fiduciary a part of their plans. And maybe you give us, I don't know, 3 to 5 instances in where it makes sense to have a fiduciary involved.
When you're drafting your estate plan, okay, is when it is appropriate. And I'll say that because it gives you an opportunity to build that relationship and decide whether or not you trust this person. And that's the most important thing. Do you trust this person to do what you want done with your estate and to take care of you in a manner that you want done? So when you're doing that, I would suggest you appoint a fiduciary. It can be a licensed fiduciary or a family or friend member that you, family member and friend or friend that you trust, as a medical power of attorney, financial power of attorney. And you can nominate them to be your guardian, conservator, and then appoint the appropriate person in that fiduciary capacity as the personal representative for your estate. But I would really recommend that you do that long before it's needed in the literal sense.
Coy, when folks are putting together those plans, maybe they're not going to need them executed for a number of years, you know, 20 years, 30 years. Is it just enough to say we want a fiduciary in this role and then the estate attorney works with you all, or is the person expected to name you as they put together their will and trust?
You know, what I've seen is they're expected to name someone. If they have a power of attorney, they're expected to name an agent and a successor agent or multiple successor agents. I was in a hearing this morning where there was for a trust, and there were, I think, 6 or 7 successor trustees named. So while they're drafting the documents, they're going to ask you to name someone. And then at the time of action, that person has the ability to decline to serve, or maybe they don't have, they're not in the health to serve themselves. Maybe they passed away. But you will be, as part of the document, typically required to name somebody to act on one of those capacities.
Well, we're going to take a break here and come back, but when we do, I'm sure you have another story, and we love stories here at Healthy Senior Living, because that's what this is all about, knowing what other people are doing so that maybe we can do somewhat the same or make a decision based on that. But we'll be right back after this.
Healthy Senior Living will be back right after this. Childers and Coventry provides quality of life for their clients and wards, peace of mind for the families, integrity in financial matters, and fairness in dealing with family and other interested parties. They are licensed by the Arizona Supreme Court to serve under court appointment, and as such, they are authorized and prepared to administer guardianships, conservatorships, trusts, probate estates, as well as to act as agent under power of attorney for both medical and financial matters. They are also considered credible expert witnesses by their peers, attorneys who practice elder law, and judicial officers that hear their cases. Serving Arizona and beyond with compassion and integrity, Childers and Coventry offer trust of families, of the courts, and of their clients, peace of mind, a consistent trusted point of contact, a talented staff with the experience, knowledge, and integrity that inspire confidence in the community. Childers and Coventry.
This is Healthy Senior Living, and we're all interested in health and healthcare. You listen to this program and probably frequent other sites on the internet for health information. But until now, you haven't been able to find one website that has it all. One website that links you to the dozens of articles published every day about healthcare. That's why I created My Healthcare Report. You'll find links to the latest articles on diseases, treatments, diet, technology and medicine, research, the business of healthcare, and a lot more at www.myhealthcarereport.com.
Now, back to Healthy Senior Living with Smiles by Delivery.
Welcome back to Healthy Senior Living, where we're talking with Coy Vernon and Deborah Bailey. They are both of Childers and Coventry LLC, and what we're talking about today is the importance of having a fiduciary. So, Coy, I'll let you kind of pick up where we left off.
Okay, so I wanted to dive in into an example where we acted as, well, agent for a trust, for a trustee, and this is a good example of how our firm and the diverse staffing that we have was able to take a situation, and I don't know that the current people that were acting as trustee were aware of how bad it was.
No, if I remember correctly, there was a trustee involved who was co-trustee with our individual involved, and she resided in California, so she was very far removed from really what was going on here in Arizona. And so by the time we got involved, the individual had a live-in caregiver, and the caregiver was supposed to have been a nurse with extensive experience. However, when our healthcare advocate stepped in, there was medication mismanagement, finances were kind of questionable. So we were able to, through an agency agreement with the successor trustee, we were able to step in and remove the person, get her appropriate health care and evaluations such that her medications were totally, I guess you'd call it reworked. She had eliminated a number of medications that she really did not need to be on. Experienced, you know, from that, she started experiencing a lot more, I believe, quality of life. She was appropriately placed and had independence and a little autonomy where she was. And then we stepped in financially and were able to marshal and manage all of her assets such that she is able to provide some input but it's on a level where she feels very secure. We communicate frequently. We provide her, you know, most of her financial information frequently. So I think she feels, you know, very confident in our abilities. She can call at any point. She has our healthcare advocate available for more health-related questions. But remarkably, she was in our office to help out with, we needed to change her address for Social Security. And she came into our office. She used to work in an office. She sat at the computer and would tap out, you know, online what she needed to provide to help us get her address changed. And it was such a wonderful thing to see her, you know, 2 years later, walking, ambulating, shopping when she needed to with our healthcare advocate, and just being able to ask questions when I would meet with her to talk about her finances and the accounting that we do. We do an accounting on an annual basis, so it was remarkable.
I want to kind of clarify something. You know, another role that we act, just say you're acting as trustee for your family trust and you don't want to relinquish that authority, you can also appoint a fiduciary as your agent, and then basically we do all of the work and running around and report back to you as trustee as your agent. So then you don't have to relinquish that role, that control that you would want over your trust as trustee, and you can have us do that. Now, also, you know, to sum up this particular individual's condition, to me, my impression from talking to our health advocate, Susan, was that she was basically medicated into a state of being sedated almost. And that was how this gal was managing her. And she was driving around our client's car. And we barred this individual from contacting our client completely because of the unhealthy relationship. And that's, I actually got a message while I was driving here from my wife, who was working with the realtor. In another instance, I don't know the details, but where a caregiver is potentially abusing the situation. And our other healthcare advocate was telling me a story about how the caregiver had written herself into a will in another instance. And all of a sudden, she'd updated her South Phoenix home, complete remodel. And then when Jay stepped in before my time at the company, apparently they had the police officers handcuffed her to the signpost while they went and pulled the lady out of the home to get her properly placed and taken care of. So just because there's a caregiver, you know, quotations there, assigned to a case, doesn't mean that you can just turn a blind eye to it. So.
And why is that different with a fiduciary? I mean, because you actually have some different standards that you have to live up to, right? Versus being, you know, a caregiver who's a friend who might have really good intentions, but that may go awry. But as a fiduciary, what makes it even more specific that you act in the best interest of the clients?
First, we're licensed by the Arizona State Supreme Court. And there's a lot of oversight and reporting that goes in with that, too. If it's a conservatorship guardian case, there's annual reports. Guardians were required to report annually to the court on the health condition of the ward. Does the ward still need a guardian? You know, we're not just putting someone under guardianship and throwing away the key. Every year you're supposed to assess, is that still appropriate? Are you doing things to improve the ward's life? You get notes from the physician. That's required to be attached to that. And then on Deborah's side, every year she'll prepare an annual accounting. I think in a few instances I've seen where we do biannual, but the typical is annual accountings. And the court accountant will review that, and if things aren't seeming up to par, they're going to question that.
Yeah, and if I might add, in terms of bonding, we have, generally for a conservatorship, we have to get a bond, a surety bond. And a lot of times, if there are assets that we don't need to use for the care of the ward during maybe the first year, those assets can be restricted. Could be a home where we know we're not going to be selling it immediately. So we would restrict that we have to go back to court to release the restrictions. So there's a lot of oversight there in terms of assets.
So restriction, that means you cannot sell it. If it's a bank account, you cannot access that. Courts can also issue a fiduciary arrest warrant. We do not comply. Now, they have our vehicle license plates, the VIN numbers of our vehicle, where we live. We're required to update that within 10 days if we change vehicles. So they'll find us. If you're a licensed fiduciary and you do wrong, you will be found. Now, I want to go back to this case where we were acting as agent, because several years later, we even had a corrective surgery. I don't even want to talk about that.
Yeah.
And this really, you know, I'll let you talk about it, but this is really exemplifies just how great Susan did in this case.
Yeah, it's obviously there was an existing condition, and the initial caregiver apparently had never pursued anything in that regard. And when we came into acting as her agent, we were care managing for her. She had expressed a desire to have this corrective surgery. It was a little bit cosmetic because she could see, but once the surgery it worked and she could see the difference, I think that was very uplifting for her as well.
It gave her confidence to go out in public, I would say. Now we're working on planning a couple trips, and we'll get Susan to accompany her on those trips. Mm-hmm. So maybe Susan gets a paid vacation out of it. I don't know, and that's again the importance of having someone that you trust, because that ties into the mobility for the client. You know, because they're going to need that assistance to travel. So now we took this lady who was kind of restricted into her condo, and now she's in a position where she's gained a bit more social confidence back, and is able to consider traveling to visit family. I think it's one of our great success stories, I'll call it here. And I'm very proud to be associated with Deborah and Susan, who are the particular people at our company involved in this case. They did great work.
I'm sure there are some red flags, though, that you run into occasionally, not necessarily the kind where you had the person handcuffed to the sign or whatever, but there are some red flags that, you know, need to be taken care of immediately that you notice right away. And what are those?
Well, I think
that's a Pandora's box.
Yeah, it is. I think initially, if we are tasked with maybe evaluating a situation to whatever limit is set, I guess examining environment. When you see that an individual is, living in very maybe squalid or dirty conditions, you know that there might be something up.
For me, a red flag is when somebody is overly interested and they have no reason to be I had one case, it was an apartment complex in Wickenburg, and the apartment manager was far too interested in my mind. You know, and long story short, I think he was just concerned about preserving some sort of job security for him. And it was, he had a way of being a bit verbally abusive with and controlling with the ward. So when I see people that are overly interested, that's kind of a bit of concern for me.
So a couple of red flags, the living conditions, maybe somebody who's overly interested, and certainly consider a fiduciary at a time when you're putting together your will and trust. Somebody's listening to this and they want to reach out to you. Coy, give us the contact information.
The best way is to go to childrensandcoventry.com, or it's www.arizonafid.com, right, Deborah?
Yes.
So yes. arizonafid.com, and there's a contact us link there. And then you'll be able to send into our business administrator.
And who knows, you may be fortunate enough to get Deborah Bailey as your administrator. Yes.
That'd be great.
Yeah,
I'd love to help out.
That
is my passion.
We can tell when people really enjoy doing what they do, and obviously people enjoy having you do what you do for them. Coy, again, great guest. Thanks for bringing Deborah in and talking about this, because with healthy senior living, you know, you've got to live longer than the idea of just paying your own bills necessarily. Somebody else has to help you, and we're glad that you came again today.
Well, thanks for having us.
Thank you.
Michelle, it was another great show.
Indeed.
And thank you for listening. Hopefully you'll be back here next Tuesday and listen to us again on Healthy Senior Living.
Thank you for listening to Healthy Senior Living with Smiles by Delivery, the premier mobile dental practice in Arizona. Catch the show live each week at this time or 24/7 anytime on demand on StarWorldWideNetworks.com.